Hi, it's Casey. This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show. And we're going to get happy today by befriending our ghosts. We're brought to you by Nissan of Yorktown Heights.
Shop Nissan of Yorktown Heights. Best deal of the year. Brand new 2024 Nissan Rogue, only $299 a month, or the industry's lowest interest rate, 0% APR. Plus, we've got over 500 vehicles ready to drive away today. Nissan of Yorktown Heights, making dream deals a reality, but only for a limited time, so hurry in now.
VIN RC690872, lease selling price $32,005 with approved credit, terms and restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Expires 4/30/24.
Leah Guy is our guest. She says houses aren't haunted, people are.
And you've written books like Overcoming Toxic Emotions, a spiritual journal for women, The Fearless Path, and now you have a one-woman show, The Light Night of the Soul. I want to start there. Why do you call it The Light Night?
Well, it's kind of a play on the words, the dark night of the soul, which so many people are afraid of, or there's this negative connotation. And my experience is that when we learn how to sit with the discomfort and the uncomfortable periods of our life, that is when we have access to our greatest light, to our life, to our soul purpose, to our peace. And so the name just kind of came to me, and I thought, that is perfect.
The Light Night of the Soul. Tell me what it looks like when people sit with their discomfort. Like, how long do I have to sit?
There is no time. That's the beauty about this. There are no rules. And a lot of people get very anxious in their mind thinking, I don't know how to meditate. I don't know how to be quiet. I don't know how to do this. And the reality is all we need to do is just practice sitting down, turning off the noise, whether that's physical, you know, the internal noise, and that can be tricky to do. So just sit down and be quiet and listen. Just notice what's going on inside. You can do it for a minute. That's a great place to start. Some people can do it for 5 minutes. Maybe you can extend it. It's just an awareness of what is going on inside of you, what's going on in your mind, what feelings are actually there in the moment, so that we don't get into the automatic expectation of what feelings have been in there in the past, or we should be feeling, or what we want to be feeling. And when we do this, it's a very powerful practice of just noticing, befriending ourselves, sitting with the discomfort, and see what happens.
Okay. What happened when you sat with your discomfort?
Well, let's see. So many things. I've done healing work for a very long time, but this recent experience in the past few years of doing this practice really intentionally, what I noticed was there's still some really deep fears activated. There was still a lot of subconscious programming going on of how I think I should feel, like I mentioned a moment, like anxiety or fears of the actual moment or what might happen. There was feelings of unworthiness still going on inside of me, or how I wanted to compare myself. There was sometimes a feeling of just kind of wanting to get away from myself. And they're very uncomfortable feelings. But what I learned is that the longer that I was able to practice just sitting with myself and befriending or reparenting that part of myself, those feelings started to lose their control. The heightened sensation of them started to diminish. And now all of a sudden, not only am I able to tolerate them, but I'm able to accept them. And when we're in that space with those difficult feelings, there's no conflict. And when there's no conflict, there's nothing to run away from. And when there's nothing to run away from, we can be right here, right now, and feel great.
What does it sound like inside when you start to reparent yourself?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot of talk about reparenting and inner child work right now. And I think, you know, some people who actually have children may have a more sense of how they actually parented. But it can start with just a very simple dialogue. We have to remember we're talking to a part of ourselves that's immature, you know, just literally does not have the skill set, the language, the capacity to understand much beyond their feelings in the moment. So it can look like just a simple dialogue. I recommend for people to do some journaling with their inner self to reparent. A simple conversation like, hi, sweetie, how are you doing today? And you can switch hands when you're writing to your non-dominant hand and let the inner part of you answer that child part. Simple language. We're not looking for complexities here. Checking in about what we need and how we actually feel today. Sometimes we need things that we're not satisfying for ourselves, like playtime or like social rest or creativity or music or, you know, a variety of things that are really simple to get in our lives, but we push away that internal need that we have, thinking we don't have time or it's not important. And that is actually one of the most important pieces of us. You know, it's the wholeness of us and how are we nurturing ourselves. So it can start in those ways, just getting curious about what we want and need in the moment.
Right. And that changes daily.
It changes daily. I do want to say, I think one of the most important things that our inner child needs, as do most anyone walking on earth, is it's just a very simple validation. You know, we're not trying to fix anything here. We're not trying to change ourselves. We're certainly not trying to remove things. When we validate in a healthy way, it again kind of displaces that trigger, that reactionary part of ourselves that's used to acting out or getting upset or getting triggered. When we just validate how we are and what we want to need in a very healthy way, all of a sudden the energy comes down, you know, and we have more peace right in the moment. If I just say to myself, it's totally understandable why it would feel this way, you know, I get it, and not try to do anything about it, that in itself has so much soothing power. It's just really being heard.
We're talking to Leah Guy. We're talking about a lot of things, including her one-woman show, The Light Night of the Soul. So when we talk about reparenting, it's as easy, I guess, as our outer self talking to our inner self. And also, I feel what you're saying is the big piece is listening so we don't push away what's going on inside. Yes?
Yes. Listening, and then if we can, do the validation piece. Yeah, we don't want to, every time that we deny a part of ourselves, we create conflict inside of ourselves. We start fragmenting mentally, emotionally, energetically. And so our goal here is to not create conflict. It's to be whole and together and contained and boundaried and safe. And so when we listen, when we validate, when we pay attention to our inner selves, that is one of the fast tracks to healing, to wholeness, to peace. And so it doesn't have to be, you know, an extremely difficult process. It's just a practice that can be, well, I guess intimidating for some people might be a good word.
All right, I'm going to give a little dialogue. You tell me if I'm on the right path. So say I'm feeling resentful because, say, someone's issues or hobbies or whatever is getting in the way of my peace and joy. It could be as simple as just taking a moment and saying, hey, I hear that. You're feeling resentful. You have every reason to. It's okay. I got you. We'll figure this out. Is that the right language?
That's a good language to start with, certainly. Good job. And I also want to say you do a good job with your work. Yes, so you're feeling resentful. You acknowledge the resentment. You can validate that resentment and accept it for what it is. And then what I would say after that point is let's bring our attention and focus back to self, because the resentment is connected and attached to something outside of you. And when we're connected and attached to that thing outside of us, now our focus is not with us. It's with them. It's with the situation. It's with the person. It's with the story. And so after we recognize it and we acknowledge it and we accept it and validate it, then we come back home. So what does Casey need right now? What brings you into this moment, into a state of maybe a different state? Maybe we need to just sit with the resentment for a minute and let that feeling go through your body. What does that feel like? Do you need to shake it out? Do you need to scream? Do you need to throw a pillow? And so we do that if we need to. And then we come back to our body. What's the feeling now? Because what happens is people, especially with feelings, resentment's a great example, resentment, anxiety, we get so accustomed to feeling that thing, and it's such a strong emotion that we want to stay away from it, but that conflict with it is what perpetuates the feeling itself. Mm. And so now tomorrow or later today, when somebody says, how are you? I may still say, well, I've had an anxious day, or I feel icky and resentful today. But is that the truth in this moment? Maybe that was the truth 5 hours ago. But if we're in our body in this moment, maybe there's something different possible right now. So anxiety, for example, people attach to it and they're afraid of it and they don't want it. And it perpetuates that feeling of, I have anxiety. My first question is, are you anxious right now? And they say, no. And I say, well, then you don't have anxiety. Mm. What do you have right now? And then we learn to stay in the moment with the feeling that actually exists, not the one that's in our subconscious looping those stories and the narratives of what we think should exist or what existed 5 hours ago or 5 days ago or right. in some cases 5 years ago.
Okay, so we want to stay away from the icky feeling, and that just perpetuates the icky feeling.
Yeah.
So to sit with it, acknowledge it, validate it. Now we're cleaning ourselves up so we can be in the present moment.
Exactly.
I just realized something, Leah Guy, something that I do.
What's that?
Yeah, here's what I do. Like, I'll have a bad moment in my day, and and then I sort of, like, package it all up and then discuss it later with my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Right? Right? And yep. I'm thinking, why do I do that? Like, I just yep. sort of put it in my back pocket, like, oh, yeah, I'll have a story to share later. And then I unpack it and relive it all over again. That's dumb.
Well, it's not dumb, but it's a common thing. And there are times we need to share our experiences, but sometimes we're sharing those experiences because we're needing validation from external people. And if we can learn to validate for ourselves, what, you know, how freeing would that be? So we don't have to share that story. Now when you're with your girlfriend, you can actually be in real time enjoying each other, laughing, doing something great, and not having to bring that up, you know? So I hear you, though. It's easy to do, and a lot of people do that.
All right. Well, as you were talking, that's what popped into my mind, like, oh, look at that. Now, yeah. You mentioned the word fragmenting before.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
When we are in a trauma state or in an overwhelming experience or feeling something very uncomfortable that we don't want to feel, a lot of times what happens is we'll dissociate, we'll split, we'll fragment. And psychologists talk about this a particular way, and shamans talk about it another way. In shamanistic terms, we talk about soul loss, and we do soul retrieval processes to retrieve those parts of ourselves. It's a part of our psyche, a part of our spirit. It's kind of unexplainable in a certain way. Psychologists would call it more like the dissociation. And then we start feeling like bits and pieces are scattered. And that can have a lot of different symptoms for different people, whether we feel confused, we feel just disconnected inside of ourselves, we feel like other people don't understand, we feel loss of focus, we feel unable to sleep. Like, there's so many different symptoms that arise. A similar thing can happen when we are in a perpetual state of trying to avoid discomfort. I think of it like, actually in my first book, I talked about as if we had a pillar within us, a pillar, like imagine a beautiful marble pillar, like from the Italian ages. And we have this pillar. And if we are healthy about how we process emotions and feelings, every experience that we have, we think of kind of adding to that pillar to solidify our core. But if we're unhealthy in how we process experiences and emotions, it's like we're chipping away at that pillar, trying to get rid of the stuff. And now our pillar becomes weakened in all kinds of different ways. And we don't feel our power, our integrity, our strength, our confidence, our centeredness. And so experiences that we have and feelings that we have, they're not against us. They're all kind of for us, even though some of them are really unpleasant. And we want to stay whole, not fragmented emotionally or mentally in our daily lives. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense, Leah Guy. Let me ask you a question. How did you manifest this one-woman show, The Light Night of the Soul? Is it something you've been working on for a while?
Well, I actually went to a public speaking school, something I wanted to do for a very long time. And as I was writing a keynote for that school, it came to my attention and the director at the school's attention that I think this isn't a keynote, this is a one-woman show. And so I never really thought about doing a one-woman show ever, but I did want to tell these stories. So it worked out kind of perfectly, and I've been working on it for the past year. It is part of a manifestation of a trilogy of work. I also wrote a screenplay that I'm going to be shopping soon, and there will be a book as well.
What are we going to learn when we come to see your show?
Oh, goodness. Well, I do tell a lot of very raw, vulnerable stories about my life, but what the takeaway is for people is how to trust how to surrender and how to heal the ghosts of their past.
Healing the ghosts of our past seems yes. like a really tall order. Give me a little bit of nutrition around that topic.
Well, one of the lines of my show is that houses aren't haunted, people are. The spirits in the house want the same thing that we want, which is to be freed. And the ghost within us can be anxiety, can be shame, can be guilt, can be memories, traumas, a lot of different things that we hold on to and kind of keep hidden away in those dark parts of our inner world. We don't want people to see them. We don't want to confront them. We don't want to feel them. And so kind of what we were talking about earlier, including learning how to sit, how to be with ourselves, how to validate, how to become present in the moment, how to trust and surrender, all these things are tools that we can use to free those ghosts. And when the ghosts are free, when they're out, when they're exposed, when they're there's no conflict with them, then they don't trigger us. They don't captivate us any longer.
Can it actually feel good to sit with the darkness?
Oh, yes. I think it's actually one of our more primal states that we've just gotten really far away from. You know, we just bombard ourselves and overwhelm ourselves with stimulus and drama and noise and toxicity and relationships and other people's stuff and the news and all kinds of everything. But, you know, back in the day, we think about, in fact, the ancient Taoist had a spiritual training years ago of spending 2 months in the darkness, literally. And a lot of people still use moments like this, whether it's silent meditation retreats or camping experiences for extended periods of times or being in more remote, off-grid isolation kind of things. I think because there's a yearning within us to know ourselves and to connect with something beyond ourselves. And so we have to be willing to go there. But when we do, it's pretty profound.
We're talking to Leah Guy about many things, including her one-woman show, The Light Night of the Soul, which is coming to Jersey City Theater. Leah, I just had a little, like, wow moment. You said you think it's one of our most primal urges is to sit with the darkness, right? To mm-hmm. be introspective, mm-hmm. and that we've come far away from that. But we are still sitting in the darkness when we're carrying on about the news or being, you know, caught up in a gossip mode or caught up in a anxiety mode. We're in the darkness. We're just not in the right darkness.
Well, in those cases, we're more like stewing in the darkness.
Right.
You know, we're like in the pit of stew instead of in an intentional practice. And I think, yes, there's quite a difference. There's a lot of talk, you know, about the light and the dark, and there's a lot of toxic positivity about the light, you know, but the reality is that all things start in the dark. I mean, the darkness is the germination place. It is the place we incubate. It is the place of our dreams, our fantasies, how our bodies heal and restore. It's where our memories are held. We know the darkness, and it is a comforting, healing, productive place. But we've come so far away from ourselves that we're grasping for anything and everyone around us to save us, validate us, distract us, and take us away from ourselves because we're ultimately afraid of the authentic feelings that are going on.
I'm getting this. So we shouldn't be afraid to sit in our own darkness because we really don't seem to have a problem sitting in everybody else's.
Well, there are some people certainly that, yes, they create darkness that is not of a positive vibration,
right.
Let's say that.
And maybe, too, I think people create darkness and chaos and negativity. It's just because of what they're used to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like attracts like. That's what energy is kind of all about. So these are patterns from our family of origin, from our ancestry, from our cultures, our societies that, you know, as a conscious person, a person who wants to heal and grow, that we have to be willing to step forward and break those patterns. So, you know, it's courageous to do so.
Okay, we will step forward. And the first thing we'll do to break our pattern is buy a ticket to the one-woman show, The Light Night of the Soul. Most importantly, Leah Guy, what are you going to wear?
That's a great question. And you know what? I'm not sure quite yet. I don't know.
It's your first one-woman show. You got to put some thought into this. And are you going to change during the show?
I'm not going to change during the show. It's one outfit. It's a straightforward shot. I have put thought into it, but it's a really hard decision. There's a lot of factors, you know, the lighting and the couch that I'm sitting on and the white walls and the black floors. It's a lot to consider. I don't know how people do this.
Right? I'll tell you this, though. Spanx were invented by a woman who did stand-up comedy because the lights on the panty lines drove her crazy.
Really?
True story. She's been on the show.
Interesting. Wow. That's great to know.
So slip on your Spanx and have a wonderful time. Where do we go to get a ticket?
You can go to JerseyCityTheaterCenter.com for a ticket or my website, LeahGuy.com.
Don't you just love her, Leah Guy? Don't you think we should make a road trip? June 20th, Jersey City. I think they're going to bring the show to the city in the fall, too. Our city, New York City. Sorry, I'm just always talking to Westchester in my head. But I love you, no matter where you are listening. Westchester and the Hudson Valley, you are first in my heart, but anybody else listening anywhere... Thank you for tuning in. Leah Guy, Jersey City, June 20th, and maybe coming to New York City in the fall. There, I said it right that time. Listen, speaking of road trips, I got a couple coming up for you. The full moon is Friday, June 21st, and it will reach its peak illumination at 9:08 p.m. Eastern Time. On our last Zoom, we decided we won't Zoom for July and August. We'll just start having summer adventures. So the first summer adventure is going to be Friday, June 21st. We are going to meet probably, I don't know, around 8 or so, outdoors, and we're going to sit under the moon. I haven't figured out what we're going to do, but we're going to do a moon watch. You know, bring your favorite moon poems and quotes and inspiration. And you can find out more on A Circle of Women on Facebook or also at caseysplace.com. But come, it's our first in-person summer adventure. Friday, June 21st, we are going to watch the moon rise. Then June 29th, the following Saturday, join me for a half day at Graymore in Garrison. This is open to absolutely everybody. From 10 to 2, we have a special half day retreat called Finding Your Light. Lunch is included. Afterwards, I'm going to give a tour of the chapels up at Graymore, if you don't know where they all are. There's a couple of little hidden ones I'd love to show you. But it's just a half-day retreat, Finding Your Light. And I'll get you back in the sunshine by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I promise. Our weekend retreat is August 23rd, 24th, and 25th, and that's at Merriandale in Ossining. That's for women only, and it's filling up. So join us. We have a swimming pool and the river views for that retreat. All meals are included. It's super affordable. And do remember, all summer long, every single Sunday at 10 o'clock, there's free yoga on the river in Verplank, presented to you by Let It Shine. I just want to touch back on some of the things that Leah Guy was talking about. As we set our ghosts free or heal our ghosts or make friends with our ghosts, she said that conflict with any feeling you're having, pushing up or pushing back against any feeling you're having, perpetuates the feeling. You may have heard the phrase, what you resist persists. So her suggestion is, in your healing work, take the time to listen to what's going on in your mind. Come back to yourself, tune into your needs so you can validate what you're feeling from the inside, and you won't seek validation from the outside. It's as simple as having a conversation with yourself. You can think of the grown-up part of yourself having a conversation with the immature part of yourself. If you've had trauma in your past, or even in your recent past, our brain takes trauma and cuts it up into little pieces and puts it in different boxes in our brain, because sometimes thinking about or dealing with the whole of it is just too much. So our brain does this to protect us, but it also cuts us off from pieces of ourself. So work with your healer to gather up all the pieces of you and find as much peace as you can, so you can be present in this moment. You know, in this world, we spend so much time in darkness, so much time worrying about what's going to happen next. It might be time well spent to spend time with your own thoughts. Go into your own darkness and bring all your compassion with you. Thank you, Leah Guy, and best of luck to you on your one-woman show. The Light Night of the Soul, June 20th in Jersey City. Our thought for the day is from the Dalai Lama, who said, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. Shine on. You've been listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week. It's your time to shine on.